Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
All right, good evening, welcome back. Okay, Parshas Vayetzeh. What I'd like to learn this evening is one of the most difficult conversations in all of Chumash. The conversation between Rachel and Yaakov, when Rachel comes to the realization that she is not having any children. It's a very difficult conversation. It's a difficult conversation on an emotional level, as I'm sure everyone in this room has gone through probably more often than I. Just working through what the conversation. It's a difficult emotional conversation, as we'll see. I'd like to look at it from a different perspective, which is simply a textual perspective. Just textually looking at the conversation, we will deal with the emotions of it, but even if we take the emotions out, the conversation doesn't flow. It doesn't seem to actually have a response in which Yaakov and Rachel are talking to each other, almost. There's something missing in the text, so we're going to take a look at it from that perspective, see how Rashi fills that in, even with Rashi trying to fill it in, still leaving us with lots of questions, and hopefully we'll see a maral or two which will clarify some elements of this conversation. Okay, good? Ready? All right, let's tackle the conversation. It begins Perek Lamed. Vatera Rachel Kilo Yoldo Yaakov. Rachel sees right before this, Leah has already had her fourth child, naming him Yehuda, Hapam, Odez, Hashem. And at this point, Rachel now sees, thinking, three, that would have been fine. But now Leah has already had her fourth child. She sees that she has not had any children. Vatekane Rachel ba'achosa. Which would literally translate that she has become jealous. Rashi points out it doesn't mean really jealous, it means kino b'ma'aseha. She was jealous of Leah's actions or deeds. Amra ilule shetzadka mimeni lo zachta lebanim. She says, if she wouldn't be a greater tzadekas than I, she wouldn't have been zeicha to all of these children I have none. Meanwhile, the Pashup Shah, she was jealous. Rashi says, it can't be. The Maral actually points out, how did Rashi know to learn it that way? Maral says, Chalila bitzadekas lihi yos mekanes. How could it be, Chalila, that such a tzadekas like Rachel would be just flat out jealous of her sister? Because kin is one of the three things that Chazal say just completely removes a person from this world. So Chazal, Rashi, Maral learn she was jealous of her actions. Be that as it may, we then get into what we're going to be talking about, which is this conversation which happens. Vatoymer el Yaakov, she says to her husband Yaakov, Hava li vanim, give me children. V'im ayin mesa anochi. If you do not, I am as if, or I am, literally she would be saying, I am dead. If you don't give me children. Again, I'm going to point to the things that we're not going to be talking about. V'im ayin mesa ani, Rashi says, you see from here that someone without children is shechoshev kemes. Maral points, it doesn't mean that they are literally like they are dead. It means in the metaphysical way, a spring or a well is a ma'ayin hanoveya, is one that flows. So if there's not going to be a continuation in future generations, so and from a spring's perspective, not that during the person's lifetime does it have any consideration like that, but that's not our conversation for today. But here, this is the emotional element of the conversation. She says, you give me children, she says. V'im ayin meisani. V'yichar af Yaakov v'rachel. Yaakov gets angry at Rachel. The Ramban points out, Chazal take Yaakov to task for this, but Yaakov gets angry at Rachel. Vayomer hasachas elokim anochi asher manami mech privoten. Am I in place or instead of God who has withheld from you children? What do you want from me? Tain li banim, give me hava li banim. What do you want? I'm not in place of Hashem. Vatomer hinei amasi vilha bo elah. So she says, okay, here's my maidservant Bilha, live with her. Vatelet al birkaivi banagam anochi mimeni. Mimena. Then I will give birth through on her knees, so to speak, and I will be built through her. That's our conversation. She does. She has a child and names him Don. So again, there's the emotional aspect, but just from a structural perspective. So she says, "Give me children." She clearly wants something from Yaakov. Holds Yaakov to be responsible for this. Somehow, you're in charge. Give me children. Yaakov responds and says, what do you want me to do? Elokim has been mana mimech privata and has withheld from you children, not me. So she says, okay, here's Bilha. So the dialogue seems to be, okay, where and why does she think that giving Bilha was a response to him getting angry? It's not me. So Bilha's not going to give her, so it's going to be Bilha's child, which we see throughout the Imahos. This idea of giving a maidservant to be able to have children, very difficult concept as to what bechlal they were thinking anyway. How does that work? The ibane gam anochi mimena, that I'll be built through her. Why will you be built through her? Bilha has a child. Bilha is just your maidservant. Why does that, how does that connect, and why is that a response to Yaakov's conversation? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi fills in that there's actually a very lengthy dialogue taking place over here, which is difficult in itself. But we'll go through Rashi's dialogue, and then we'll see how the Maral addresses the dialogue as well. Says Rashi, beginning in Pasuk Aleph, Hava Livanim. So Rachel says, give me children. This is your problem, it's your fault, I want children from you. Says Rashi, V'chi kach oso avicha li'imecha. Is this how your father acted to your mother? Rachel says to Yaakov, your father Yitzchak, is this what he did? Did you see this in your house growing up? V'halo his palel aleha. Don't you remember last week's Parsha Yaakov? V'yayoser lo, you have this tefillah, you have Yitzchak in one corner, and Rivka's in another corner, and they're davening, and apparently Yaakov is doing nothing here. As opposed to the scene that even, that Rachel is aware of what took place years before, in which they would pour out their hearts, v'yayoser is a lashon, as Rashi says, hitzir v'hir b'tefillah. Over and over and over again, Yitzchak and Rivka are mispowel for children, and you, Yaakov, you're doing nothing. What's the deal? Havali banim. How could you not be involved in what's taking place over here? And Yaakov responds, there's no argument about the fact he has not davened. He has not done anything for his wife, Rachel. He has four children from Leah, and Rachel is sitting here distraught, and says to him, do something about this. Look at your father, Yitzchak David. Where are you? And he says, Hasachas Elokim Anochi, am I in place of God, Asher Mono Mimech Privatan, that is withheld from you, says Rashi, Mimech, Atomeres She'esa Ka'aba. You're telling me that I should be like my father. Something every husband wants to hear, by the way. You're telling me that I should be like my father? You're telling me that the Tate Yitzchak was mispalel and I should be more like him? Ani eini ka Abba. I'm not like my father. Abba lo hayo lo banim. My father, he didn't have any children. Yitzchak had nothing. Yitzchak didn't have any children. So of course, he's davening. Ani yesh li banim. I have children. I have four of them, actually. Mimchech manav lo mimeni. So from you it's been withheld, not from me. What are you asking me to daven for? How can I daven? And again, there's the emotional component. Like, wait a minute, Yaakov. Your wife is sitting here saying, I have no children. Daven for me. Your father did it. Daven for me. And Yaakov says, what, are you comparing me to my father? My father had children. Didn't have any children. Of course he was davening. I have. I can't do anything for you. We're going to read the whole Rashi and then we'll go back to Maral. So what's her response to this? What's her response? She says, I'll give you Bilha. Vateleid al birkai v'ibone gam anochi. I will be built. Says Rashi. V'ibone gam anochi. Mahu gam. What do you mean I will also be built? What's the gam? Amrolo. Ziknecha Avraham hayulubanim mehagar. Wait a minute. This conversation is not over. Yaakov says, don't compare me to my father Yitzchak. Yitzchak didn't have any children. Of course he davened. She says, wait a minute. Like a base measure. There's a back and forth over here. She says, what about your Zayde? Avraham, he had children. He had from Hagar, he had Yishmael. The Hagar Masnov Kineget Tsar, and he girded his loins. The language of like going to war in tefillah for Sarah. So she says to him, you're not off the hook. Don't bring me your father who didn't have any children. You have your Zayda to look at. Avraham did have children from another wife, and he still davened for his wife Sarah. Where are you, Yaakov? Why are you not davening? You can't point to your father. Look at Avraham, your grandfather. Amar lo, so he says to her, Ziknasi hechnisa tzaraso levesa. Well, yeah, Avraham davened, but he only davened after the Baba, Sarah, gave her Shifcha to Avraham as a wife. After she did that, then he could daven for her. Amrlo, oh, im hadavar hazeh ma'akev. I didn't know. Why didn't you say that? That's what I have to do? Hinei amasi. Here you go. I'll give you my maidservant also. Now, Rashi's coming to address the problem in the text and left us with a whole lot of other. This is the way the conversation goes, says Rashi, based on Chazal, between Rachel and Yaakov. Rachel says, where are my kids? Why aren't you doing anything? Why are you not davening? Yitzchak did. He says, Yitzchak, my father didn't have any children. She says, okay, Avraham had children. He still davened. And he says, Avraham, you're going to bring me a raya for my grandfather Avraham? Do you know what Sarah did for me for Avraham to daven for? Sarah gave Hagar to Avraham. Then he davened. She says, I didn't know. I didn't realize. Here's Bilhah. Now will you daven for me? Rashi and Chumash. I'm not making this up. This is just Rashi. Very strange dialogue. It's an odd dialogue on many, many levels. Many levels. What's with the shifcha, first of all? Why? What's the power of handing over a shifcha that Sarah has to give over Hagar to Avram for Avram to be able to daven, so much so that then Yaakov says, what do you want me to do? You haven't given me over a shifcha. I can't daven for you. Wait, it's hard to just picture what are they talking about that he's putting up such, and then why won't you daven for her? He's saying, I can't daven for you. Why? What's the big deal?
Rivka didn't give Yitzchak a shifcha.
And Yitzchak also does not do that. Right, Rivka, I know this is because he says Yitzchak didn't have any children. So since Yitzchak didn't have any children, he can daven, but I can't. Very perplexing, Rashi. Let's take a look at three Marels to try to work through. We'll probably still have some problems with this because it is that difficult, so at least we'll have a little bit more of an explanation. First one I forgot to underline. It's Oshei on the second side. So Rashi said, Mimech. This is by the part of the dialogue in which Yaakov responds and says, I can't be like my father because my father didn't have any children. So he was able to daven. I can't do that for you. Says Maral, Dimlo kein mimcha mimech lomali. Obviously he's saying it's really just for you. I can't help you. This is all about you. V'im tomer mavikach uvishvil zelo yispalil aleha. Who cares that Yitzchak didn't have any children, and that's why he davened? No, Yaakov, your wife is begging and pleading, help me have a child, daven for me. I can't? What kind of answer is that? I can't? V'nira mipnei toldos hashvatim einon kishar toldos. Says Maral, you have to say, the Ramban answered that question by saying that Yaakov was wrong. The Ramban has a whole piece of that was a mistake. That might be true, that you have a cheshbon, but that's not how you respond to a woman in pain. It's not how you respond to anybody in pain. Where's the empathy? Where's the response? So the Ramban takes it that way. The Maral says, but what was he thinking? What was Yaakov's cheshbon for saying, I can't, maybe he spoke inappropriately when he responded, but he has a cheshbon and he says, I can't help you. What was he thinking? Says Maral, you have to say that the birth of the Shvatim is different than all other births. It's not a normal episode that we're dealing with over here. Shekavanas Hashem Yisparach Lahotzi Davka Me'isha Zos Velo Me'isha Acheres. Each Shevet was coming from a specific one of the Imahos, from one of the four, one of the Shifchas, the Imahos, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah, each one is specific. U'lekach lo hayarotza Yaakov l'shanos hadavar. Yaakov felt, I can't mess with this. This isn't something where human intervention can start playing around with who's having what. Yitzchak knew that all of his children would come from this one wife, Rivka, shehi bas zugo, kachis palel aleha. Says the Maral, starting point, Yaakov had a cheshbon. Whether he spoke correctly, incorrectly, look at the Ramban, he at least had a cheshbon. whatever the Rebbe had in mind, he's going to have in mind. I can't change that. So I don't know why it's taking so long. I don't know what the deal here is. But I can't take a child from one and put it on the other. Each one of the Shvatim is coming from a specific mother, whatever the Cheshbonas are. So I can't help you on that. That is his approach to that specific issue, which is not our main issue for tonight, but at least how he addresses what Yaakov was thinking.
He only had two wives at this point.
At this point he has all four, right when they got married.
Oh, they came
in a household, but they're not his wives or concubines either.
Well, that's true. In other words, meaning it's at this point that they become his wives. That's correct.
After this.
That's correct. But even if it would only been Leah and Rachel, it seems that they all had a cheshbon. In other words, the cheshbon of 3, 3, 3, and 3, when Leah says, "Apam odes Hashem," is because they all seem to have had this cheshbon that the four of them together were going to produce the 12 shvatim. Mm-hmm. That they seem to have had some mesorah on. Mm-hmm. So Rivka responds, Rachel responds that might be true. She says, okay, fine. You can't daven for me just straight up because whatever the divine cheshbonos are, and you can't play with that. But you still need to daven for me because Avraham did it, she says. Avraham davened. And how do we... And even though he already had a child. So the Maral asks the question, wait a minute. I went through the Chumash. We don't actually see that anywhere. Avraham and Sarah are the Kenim Ba'im Bayamim. But we actually never see a hint anywhere in all of the Chumash that Avram davened for Sarah. So Rachel is now coming with this argument against her husband Yaakov and saying, well, look at your Zayda. He davened and he had a child, Yishmael, from Hagar. Why aren't you davening? How didn't she know that he davened? Well, there's no record of that. So we're all going to come up with three understandings as to how we know that he davened, all of which are significant for us in our regular lives. Admiral asks the question in Osvav. Afagav delo matzino bekrusha ya Avram ispalel al Sarah. We don't find that. So how does she come with this argument as part of this dialogue to say that you have to daven for me like Avram? We don't see that. Says Admiral number one. Bivadai hayom ispalel aleha. It has to be. It has to be that he davened. Shem lo chein lama hiftichu al ze. Why does Hashem come and promise him? Don't worry, Avraham. You're going to have a child. It has to be that Avraham's tefillah caused Hashem to come and say to him, don't worry, you're going to have a child. Number one says, well, I have a rule. If you don't ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for it, you won't get it. That's how Hashem works. If you're not mispalel, don't expect it. And if you're getting it without asking for it, send us on some other cheshbon, then, yeah. However that works. You have to ask. He brings a proof. He brings an interesting proof in number 12 on the bottom of apartment does from a Ramban. It's underlined there in the middle of number 12. Ramban writes, we're talking about Moshe who had a lisp. So Ramban asks a very simple question. Moshe keeps complaining, I have this lisp. So why doesn't he daven that Hashem should cure him of his lisp? Why not try that method? Instead of saying, I have this lisp, I can't do it, just ask, maybe he could fix the problem. Says Ramban, V'hine Moshe meirov chafzo shelo yelech leparo. Moshe had such a deep desire not to go. Lo hispalo lefonav yisbarach sheyoser kvedos biv. So he never asked to remove it, because he liked that it was there. That was a nice card for him to play of, I can't speak well, you don't want me. But that was because he so desired not to go, so he never asked to have it cured. Says the Ramban, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kevan Shalom is Palo V'Kach, V'Ratza L'Refuaso. So if you're not going to be mispalel for it, I'm not going to cure you of it. There's a relationship between the Ribbono Shel Olam and mankind, and the relationship is built, as there are many, many sources throughout Chumash, through Tefillah. Says the Maral, if Avram is huftach, he's promised, don't worry Avram, I will give you a child. I know, says the Maral, that Avram's been davening for it. Ki mi she'eno mispalel al tova eno nosemo. If you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. Hashem yisbaruch omar, aval Sarah ishtecha teilet. And Hashem says, your wife Sarah will have a child. Hivtichu she'teilet. He's promising Avram that she'll have a child. V'mlohayim mispalel v'chofetz ma'od. Had he not really desired it. wanted it and asked for it, why would he then promise it? That's the rule number one. If I know, if I'm looking at it backwards, if Hashem promises it to Avram, then I know that he's been asking for it, and he's been asking for it because he knows if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. And that is, says the law, that's just the rule. You want it? That's how Hashem sets it up. Sets it up, he wants us to ask. Different than, you know, a parent-child relationship where a parent can say no or doesn't want to have the child asking over and over and over again for something. The Rosh Hashem does. He wants it. He wants it's a unique relationship in which we have to like separate ourselves from the world we live in with little ones or even big ones asking us for regularly for things. And once we say no, Morales speaks about this a lot. When a human being says no to someone, be it a spouse, be it a child, be it a coworker, it doesn't make a difference. I'm telling you what my ratzon is. My ratzon is no. So stop asking. And every time you ask me, you're trying to go against my ratzon, which is frustrating. I don't like it when I've expressed what my ratzon is, and then you try to force me to change it. The ratzon doesn't work that way. It's not that his ratzon is no, it's that you haven't asked enough. There's a relationship that he wants more than whatever it is. Sometimes the answer, Taka, is no, but there's no frustration when we continue to ask, because it's not like he's expressing his ratzon necessarily. It just works differently. And the rule is, and if you don't ask, then you could assume you're not going to get it. Einu mispalo, al tova, einu nosinlos. Therefore, answer number one says, well, I know that Avraham asked. Number two, Ode. Kevan shashem yisparach hifticho. Hashem promised him, imkem bevadah hayachofetz ma'od bazeh. We know that he wanted it very much, like he was saying in his first answer. Shein mavtichen esa adam badaver sheinu chofetz. Well, you don't promise somebody something or guarantee them which they don't care about. V'imkein bevadah hispalo. This is all a nuance from the first approach. Tzaddik, when he realizes something is lacking, it's not just that he wants something, when something is missing, his gut reaction is to be mispalel for it. There's a relationship, just like a person who's in pain cries out, when a yid realizes he's lacking something, so he turns to the Hashem and says, I'm missing something. So if you find Hashem, again, both of the morale's first approaches are, if you see Hashem promising it to him, well then, you know that he asked, and you know that he wanted it, because it's tzaddik, it's mispalel on that which is chaser. It's just, it's the Jewish response, and it's something which is always worth going over, because we have to remind ourselves of that. Probably I as a man, much less than you as women. So just like when a child gets hurt, they scream in pain, the Jewish guttural response of, I'm missing something, is Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm missing something. That's how a Jew responds. So if Hashem is promising Avraham, you're going to have a child, it's because he's called out and said, I need something, I'm missing something, I'm lacking this, so there's no question that he was mispalel about it. So Oren Ralph says a third approach, ki mashu hu rotza, that which Avraham wanted it, hu tfiloso. That was his tfilah. Ki ritzon yireyov yaaseh, the ratzon of those who fear him, he does. Meaning to say, the ratzon and the tfilah of a person is synonymous. If he wanted it, he's mispalel for it. If you look at number 16, the way that he expresses this in the footnotes, etzem ritzono shel hatzadik af b'terem shehispalel alkach nechshav hu l'tfila asher Hashem ne'etar lo. The ratzon of a tzadik before he actually utters the words is already considered like a tfila. The tainus Rachel klapa Yaakov, and therefore Rachel's claim against Yaakov is she'Avraham ratzo she'sara teled, and therefore was quote unquote hispalel. If you really wanted it, Yaakov, that would have been considered like your tefillah. The ratzon of Yirei of Yas. Hashem does that which is the ratzon of those who fear him is. If it's not happening, it's because you lack the ratzon to do it. Because the true, deep ratzon of a person, ani tefilasi. It becomes the way that I express myself to the Baruch Shalom. And if it's deep enough inside of us, we can't keep it in there. It just expresses ourselves, and it doesn't necessarily mean when we have the siddur in front of us, and it certainly doesn't have to be when we're in shul. It just comes up. It's so in Yirei Aviasa, because I need tefilasi. I am tefila, and my ratzon comes out. And Rachel says, Avraham was mispalel. Says Maral in his third answer, he might never actually have davened. I don't know. The Torah never says he does, but it's clear that he had such a deep ratzon. And where is it? What's missing? Why is your ratzon not like Avraham's, that it would express itself as a tefillah? She has a taina on Yaakov, that there should be that form of a tefillah somehow, and it's not. It's a difficult conversation. no matter how we look at it. But where we're up to in the conversation is now we get to the crux of the issue is, Rachel says, "Nu," going back over what we've done, "Nu, Yitzchak, daven, why are you not davening like Yitzchak?" And Yaakov says, "Like, I can't play with the stars. Rav Shalom has his divine plans. Yitzchak knew his children were going to come from his wife Rivka. He didn't have any children with her yet. He knew that's where it was coming from. He davened. I don't know what's going on. I already have some children. I can't play with anything." She says, "I don't understand." So look to Avraham. Avraham had a child already with Hagar. He has children. And he clearly either davened, he had this strong ratzon. I need your help. And he says, "Well, Sarah gave a shifcha to Abraham. You haven't done that yet." Now, before we see the morale on that, aside for just, that kind of question, but let's ask a more specific question than just a question. What has Rachel done so far, just, let's say, from the beginning of his marriage and on, which might stand in her stead to somehow merit having a child? Like Leah? Wait. Like, "I gave you Leah." Leah's the one who now is sitting here with four children. I did that. That's going to stand in my corner. L'dore Doros. Rachel Mevakel Banel. Look what I did. And you tell me that I need to give you a Shifcha? It wasn't enough that I gave you Leah? It's not even saying like different types of chassadim. I did this already. I gave you my sister. Forget a shifcha. I gave you my sister first, and now you have four children with her, and you have the audacity to look at me and say, "I mean, Sarah gave me Hagar. So if you would do something like that, then you know maybe you'll marry children." What? And she says, "I didn't realize. Of course, here's Bilhah. Where's Leah in all this? Bilhah's going to solve the problem? Leah is worth nothing in this equation?" Says the Maral. Perish shechnisa sarasa l'reisa. Shehaisa mis'ave l'banim ad shechnisa sarasa l'reisa. What does it mean that she was machnisa tzara? That tzara, going back to tzara, brought in Hagar. Perish, I saw Miss Avilabanim, she was so desirous of having children. Shehichnisa tzarasa levesa. She was willing to bring in her own tzara. Now we refer to tzara as a maidservant who's going to become part, like another wife, in the same way the Gemara, the Mishnah, always refers to two wives. In the times of the Mishnah, it was permissible for men to have two wives. They're referred to as tzaros. Not by chance. It was tzaros. It really was. There's a reason why the Gaonim banned such practices. It's just a bad idea. I mean, it's a fine idea during a time there were lots of reasons. It just wasn't working anymore for us as the Jewish people, so no longer. But the Mishnah, when it existed, called them tzaros. It was that kind of relationship. It was just contentious. Says the Maral, so she was so misavil banim, she brought in a tzara to her household in the form of Hagar, so that Hagar should have a child, so that Sarah should then raise that child. Now, when the Rebbe Shalom sees that Sarah is so desirous of children, that she's raising this other woman's child, Hashem will have rachamim on her. Why? Kevan shekokach haisa mitzta'eres libanim. Because so much so was she mitzta'er, in this case, for children. Umizeh hatam hachnosas tzarasa gorim pikidasa. So that bringing in a tzara will cause her to be remembered to have a child. Says the Maral, what's the idea here? Sarah does this. Leah is going to do it after she stops having children. Rachel does it over here. What is it about being machnes at Sarah that somehow merits having your own child? Says the Maral, when you show the Ribbono Shel'Olam you want something so badly, I need to be involved in raising a child. I have what to offer. I have to do this. I'll even give my husband someone else so that she can have a child, but it's my maidservant so that I'm in charge of this child. just parenthetically, like when Rav Hirsch learns this concept, Rav Hirsch learns the concept differently, Yibana Mimena, I will be built, meaning I will provide all of the spiritual value to this child. The physical value will be provided to somebody else. I'll provide the spiritual value. Morel's not learning that way. It's not just that I'll be built through her thinking that I will shape and form this child. Morel's learning, I'm only doing this to have my own child. What I'm doing is saying, I so desire this. I am so desperate for whatever it is that I want. I'll even do this. Says Morel, when the Rebbe Shlomo says, oh, that badly you want it? I didn't know you wanted it that badly. That's a different story. It's one thing to say, Rebbe Shlomo, I really need this, and you know, we flip a page and we move on to whatever else we're doing. It's another thing to say, No, you don't understand. This is my life. This is what I want. And when a Jew says to the Rebbe Shlomo, I mean, whatever, in this particular issue, it's she wanted to have a child, but it's in all our, in every area. And the Rebbe Shlomo says, oh, like that you wanted it? You're willing to do this, that, or the other for it? Then, Vayif Kod Hashem Es Rachel, Es Sarah, whoever it may be, and they're blessed with whatever it was that they were desirous of. But the tefillah aspect comes from, it has to be ani tefillasi, and it's an element of actually showing the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is how badly I want it, I'm even willing to do that. When you look at this Maral, the Maral never asked the question that I started with. What happened to Leah? Why does she have to bring in a tzara? What's with Leah? The answer to that, in the Maral's world, is very obvious. What was bringing Leah into the marriage?
Leah was rescued and redeemed because she was supposed
correct.
To
it had
nothing.
Well, even before that, but it had nothing to do
with children having
correct. Children. It was, I am a balas chesed. I have a sister here who's going to suffer pain, humiliation, embarrassment, and I can't tolerate that. So I brought Leah in as an act of chesed that will stand in Klal Yisrael stead ledore doros 100%. What does it have to do with anything with Rachel saying I should merit children? It's a separate. That's a ma'aseh chesed. You can't touch that ma'aseh chesed. But to show that you are a tefillah of something that you desire, that's a separate issue. And therefore, Rachel herself says, "Oh yeah, you're right. That's not going to help me here. Here, take Bilha. I will be built gam mimena. I'll be built through her, and in showing the Rebbe what I want with that." I'll merit to have a child, which is indeed exactly what happened. The Maral is saying what the Imahos showed us was an approach. That if you're asking for something, there's an element of I daven, and then there's an element that says, I'm going to do something that says, I have to have this part of my life. Whatever the issue, in this area it was raising a child. That's where the Imahos were all about, that, and this is about the continuation of Klal Yisrael and the building of Klal Yisrael. So what they're teaching us is, it's one thing to divi mitzvah, and it's another thing to say, whatever it is that I want, I need it to be part of my life, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to have it there, even though this isn't really what I'm looking for, but I need to show that a kokach mitzvah eres for whatever it is that you want.
Like Elkanah said, he wanted to have children, so then he brought in Penina, but that didn't help Hannah have children.
That's right. Why would it?
But Hannah was... She was trying to make a relationship with Penina. She wasn't making it difficult. You know, she was like helping out with that. You would think that her giving over and trying to be nice to the new wife.
No, but that's the same thing with Rachel bringing in Leah. There's a ma'aseh chesed, and then they're saying something of I need to be involved in whatever it is that I want, which in that case it wasn't.
Well, if she had given a handmaid to Elkanah, it might have helped her more than allowing him to have a wife, a full-fledged wife.
That's exactly what happened here. Rachel gives Leah, her own sister, and she herself, when Yaakov says, well, you didn't give me a maidservant, she says, you're right. I didn't fight, you're right. That's really what it's about. That's what the Maral is answering your question. And he's saying, it's not just about chesed and schus, it's about saying, this is something that I need. This is something that I want. And I'm going to do it. It has to be part of my life. And I'll do it in a way that's not exactly the way that I want it. This isn't my own child. I have what to give, and I'm going to find a way to do it. And Rosh says, oh, you really want it like that? And then the floodgates of bracha open up. That's the lesson Maral says comes out of this dialogue. The dialogue is still very difficult. So I'm not going to pretend that it's not. The dialogue is a difficult dialogue. But even with Rashi filling it in, and with the Maral addressing some of the issues that we have in it, but it is a fascinating dialogue, and there's what's much to be learned from it. So I thought it valuable to share questions, comments, or just.
Yeah.
too much right, we'll it's a difficult dialogue, 100%.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.